Heaven sends a song through its doors, just as if it seems to know I'm exclusively yours. Knowing this,
welcome.
I feel but one way
to Ray
you
and
will
Tay
understand it too.
Today,
in words that I
say. It's Tuesday, baby. Special Tuesday show. Come on.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. If you don't know, now you know. You're listening to Ray and Tay today. Thank you for listening. I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, it is a Tuesday show. Man, we got a lot for you. So give us a ring. Join the adventure. Ride with us with the smooth beats. You know how we do. 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails. We love reading them and being interactive with you, and we always try to get back to you via email or even on the air. And that's at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check the website, always interactive, you know, NBA, NFL, baseball standings. And that's at rayandtaytoday.com. And we've always got the Twitter and the Facebook popping off for you with a lot of updates and insights and whatever is going on. We try to bring it to you or comment on it. So, Ray, let them know, man. It's a pretty solid show, and you know, a lot of new updates and information in the world of sports.
Yeah, so we've got a lot going on. We're going to spend a lot of time on the show talking about NBA free agency. So free agency started on the 1st, although you can't sign people till the 10th. But we'll get into it. We'll talk a lot of NBA free agency on the show. But before
yeah,
we get into
done.
That, yeah, well, a lot of deals done, a lot of rumored deals. We'll get into all of that. We'll talk first, though. We'll talk about some happenings in baseball. We'll talk about some happenings in tennis. We'll talk about just what's going on in the world of sports. Football training camp is starting. We'll get into some of those other sports that we've put on the back burner for a while because it's been all about basketball. So let's do it. Let's kick it off. Let's talk about, you know what? Let's start with baseball. We haven't spoken baseball in a while. So we're getting nearer to the All-Star break. And one of the big questions is, should Puig on the Dodgers be an All-Star? Should Yasiel Puig, the superstar from Cuba, the 22-year-old,
Puig.
Should he
yeah.
be an All-Star? So let me give you the stats first, and then you tell
yeah,
me what you think.
Break it down.
So he came on the scene on June 2nd, so he's played 22 games. And in 22 games, he's hitting .436 with 7 homers and 16 RBIs. And the Dodgers have gone 15-11 with him, and they're way under .500 without him.
Yeah.
So,
but they've had a lot of injuries, so you can't just put it all, you know,
no,
benefiting
course,
him
course.
Or against him. Yeah.
Of course.
Still
and now,
in last place, but he
came out and said he definitely thinks he isn't. You know, Papelbon's pretty outspoken, and he said it's a joke saying that he should be on the All-Star team. I don't think it's a joke at all. I think hear what you feel. It's
well,
certainly
listen.
Not a joke. It's a valid debate, and I can see both sides. But what's your opinion?
Well, you could look at it a couple ways, right? You know, he's only the second guy in history in his first 100 bats to have 44 hits. But I think one thing that's interesting about it all, when we talk about his stats and the excitement, it's almost like Fernando Valenzuela. Guess what? The Dodgers are in last place, and they're 38-43. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, you say, okay, the rule in baseball is one guy from each team. You can't say that he's going to be the one guy. So then if he's the second guy, that means somebody else from another team that, you know, is probably more deserving wouldn't be there. But they had Bryce Harper, you know, on last year from the Braves, right? And I guess, I mean, from the, not the Braves, the Nats.
From
but
the Nationals,
the question
yeah.
is, yeah, yeah, the question is, do you say, okay, for the game and the youth and for the fact that he's the now factor, you know, does he make it? It's sort of like Matt Harvey is deserving, but, you know, he might not have the best record in the National League, but they're saying it's in New York, Shea Stadium. Not Shea, City Field.
City Field,
shout out
City
to Shea
Field.
Stadium, though. Shout out
oh, that
to
was
Shea.
A horrible
that's so...
facility. Don't shout out Shea Stadium. It was a horrible
oh,
facility.
Oh, Shea
for
was great.
That's
so plenty of great games there. Don't diss Shea. They had horrible seats, though. Oh, they used to hurt. But anyway, should Harvey start, meaning he'd have to sort of delay one of his starts to match it up where he would be the starting pitcher for the All-Star game? I don't know. I think, I want to see the guy play. All-Star game is for the fans. You want to see the best and most exciting players. This guy hasn't proven it yet over an extended period of time, and that's the argument from a lot of people. But who cares? He's hot now, and he's potentially supposed to be so great. And guess what? He started off great. So let's see the guy play.
He
want to
played
see him.
26 games, and we talked a little bit about this off-air, but let's say the All-Star game is on the 16th. So you have from now until next Sunday, right, to play games. So that's another potentially 10 games, right, 10 or 11 games. So if you add 10
or 11
games 40, to 26,
yeah.
You're getting close to 40. That's about half of, we're at the 82-game mark for most teams right now. So you'll be talking about 40 of 90. So less than half. But you know what? This kid is absolutely dominating. And he's bringing energy to L.A., and like you said, it's a game for the fans. We're not calling him first team all major league, all NBA.
And nor should he start. Nor should he start.
Yeah, we're just saying, does he make the roster, and does he play an inning potentially? I want to see the kid play. Baseball is one of those sports where, for better or for worse, there's a lot of tradition in baseball, and we love it. We grew up watching baseball, loving baseball. But sometimes they take themselves a little too seriously. And, if this kid is really hot and it's not like, it's not like he's a gimmick, right? It's not like he's running out there. Remember Al the mad Hungarian? Not that he couldn't pitch, but the people don't want to see him because he's a gimmick. People want to see him because
he's
putting up
real.
These crazy numbers. And it's just that he's doing it over a condensed period of time. But it's not like it's a gimmick. This kid looks like he's the real deal. So, yeah, I'd love to see him in the All-Star game.
Yeah. No, well, you know what? Speaking of numbers, the number that must be discussed is the best record in Major League Baseball in the NL Central, those Pittsburgh Pirates at 51-30, playing 6:30 ball. Ray, you got to be excited about them. Two games up on the Cardinals, who are another great, defending champs at 49-32. What do you think about the Pirates, man? They're holding on. They're doing good. Look strong.
I love it. I love it. I want to see them succeed. I've been burned so many times. I was in Pittsburgh the last time they had that outfield of Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and Andy Van Slyke, and these guys were on top of the world, and then Bonds decided to leave. Bonilla couldn't play anymore, got traded away, ended up finishing his career and spent some time with the Mets and a few other teams, and then Van Slyke just hit the downside of his career. So they haven't had a winning season since 92, I believe, in Pittsburgh. So 21 years. I would love to see them not only have a winning season, but go to the playoffs.
Make the playoffs,
and
yeah.
Do some things. And it's too bad that town is a decent baseball town, and they had Roberto Clemente in the 60s and 70s, and it's been a while since Pittsburgh has had some baseball. It's been a full 20 years that they've had something.
Well, you remember my guys when they had Omar Moreno and Willie Stargell and Dave Parker.
Yeah, we are family, right?
Family.
79 champs. They beat the Baltimore Orioles. What a team. Dave Parker, Willie Stargell, Pops. Your boy.
Pops.
It's been a while.
He's
so
to shake that bat.
I'd love to see Pittsburgh do it. Luckily, they're about 9 games up on that wild card. So even if everything falls apart and the
Cardinals
Louis,
take them out.
You can't shake the Cardinals, right? So even if the Cardinals come back, and, you know, catch them, they still have a pretty decent lead on that wild card. Speaking of the Cardinals.
And the Reds are close. Reds are close,
Reds,
too.
Right, right.
Wins,
Johnny Cueto can't stay healthy, but, yeah, the Reds.
I know. He's
Reds
on my fantasy baseball team, Ray. He's on Tay Steele's Homes. You know I know about Johnny Cueto. But
wait, but what about
like,
what do you think about Albert Pujols coming home?
Yeah,
Albert
that's going to be exciting. Well, I think that's an interesting story. I mean, there's a couple of great stories, and another, you know, that's great. I also like with the Baltimore Orioles and how they're playing Chris Davis, you know, with all the home runs. But I also want to get a little love to the NL East since we've been talking some NL ball. The Atlanta Braves at 48-34, they have a 6-game lead on the Nationals. The Braves are really, you know, who, you know, if the Nationals were 42-40, would be tied with the Diamondbacks in the NL West. The NL West, everybody's beating each other up. D-backs in first place at 42-40. But, I mean, how about these Braves and the way that they're playing? I mean, they're looking great. And that's a missing Bryce Harper, who's been on the DL for a while.
Yeah, Bryce is back. He hit a home run yesterday on his first at bat.
He just came up.
Yeah, that, you know, there's a lot to look forward to in Washington, and we jumped the gun. I mean, I thought they win 100 games. But, you know, that Braves team, sort of like the St. Louis Cardinals, they're always there. They're always around. They can always pitch. They can always defend, and they have some timely hitting. They have the Upton brothers in the outfield. You know, I like this Nats team, though, in the long run. I like to see them. There were a couple trades today that we should tell folks about. So we've got Orioles got themselves another starting pitcher, and they got Scott Feldman
from the Cubs, right?
The Chicago
they got Feldman.
Cubs. Yeah, they got Scott Feldman from the Cubs, and the Cubs made another deal. They traded Carlos Marmol to the Dodgers for Matt Guerrero. So it's two relievers. So Theo Epstein is doing big things. I mean, he's really shaking up that team.
That's not gonna make a difference, though.
Well, hopefully he's on a 5-year plan. So hopefully they'll start to turn it around in the Windy City.
Well, you're gonna go see your boy A-Rod. A-Rod was taking some hits today down at
Single A.
What, Single A?
He was supposed to play in Single A today.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he just plays and shuts up like Brian Cashman wants him to do. But the Yankees ultimately are stuck with him. So they got to make this work, man. This is like marriage counseling for the next few years because nobody wants this contract. It's not like basketball where you could trade an expiring contract. I mean, they're stuck. This is guaranteed money. And, you know, and the Yankees have been on the other side of it, right? The Yankees paid, what, A-Rod 16 of his $25 million or so. Tom Hicks subsidized the trade when they traded Alfonso Soriano basically for A-Rod back in the mid-2000s. So the Yankees know that they're stuck with his contract. So they just have to make the best of it. And the Yankees need his punch, frankly. I mean, the Yankees can't hit.
Yeah, well, they got Adams playing third base. I mean, come on. We need a real third baseman, and I think A-Rod will. He's got a good glove, and I think, you know, maybe if he's healthy, who knows? He could bring some of the bat back. We'll see, you know.
Yeah, did you see also the White Sox hired Jim Thome as a special assistant to the GM? So that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the
that is kind of funny.
With baseball.
But
and
you know
last
what I
night,
like
I don't
too.
Know if you saw it. I don't know for all those Yankee fans out there, but Andy had it.
I tweeted about that. 1958,
yeah,
baby.
Whitey Ford as the all-time leading strikeout leader or all-time strikeout leader for the
Yankee
New York
strikeout
Yankees.
Leader, yeah.
Yeah, Yankee strikeout leader. And by the way, he spent
awesome.
3 years in Houston. So if you put those 3 years, he'd be even farther ahead. So that's pretty impressive.
I think it's great. I love, you know, look, all most Yankee fans love Andy Pettit, and I think even though he, you know, had his issues with the steroids, I think that, you know, time is forgiving for baseball and for everybody, and I just think he's been a great warrior, a good veteran pitcher, and he's still producing. You know, he really is. But enough of some of the Yankee talk, because I know even though the AL East is, you know, everybody's, you know, at 500 or above, you know, Toronto in the basement at 41 and 41, as people should be shocked with the Red Sox at 50-34 in first place. I want to ask you, are you more surprised about the Red Sox in first place or the Cleveland Indians at 44-38, top of the AL Central? What are you thinking? Which team surprises you more, Indians or the Red Sox being the first?
You know, I got to say the Indians. I mean, I predicted both of these teams to be cellar dwellers. So if you go back to our baseball preview show with Bob Brenly, I think you'll enjoy it.
Check it out on the website.
Yeah, check that out. But Boston, like you said, Boston's 50-34 and Cleveland is 44-38. I expected Cleveland to be terrible. I looked at their roster and I said, these guys, I mean, what do they have? I don't know if they can pitch. I don't know if they can hit. I mean, they brought in some free agents, and you said to yourself, oh, okay, you know, Drew Stubbs and Michael Brantley, and you know, they brought our boy Nick Swisher over there, and they've got what seemed like, you know, except for Asdrubal Cabrera, who to me is a star. Jason Kipnis is decent. Mark Reynolds can hit home runs, but you know his average is you know, TBD. He's up and down in terms of hitting for average, but you know, it's the Indians for me. I mean, Justin Masterson was pitching out of his mind for a while, and then you get anything out of the rest of that staff. So Kazmir is back. Scott Kazmir, remember him? Where have you been? Jimenez, Matt Albers. They've got a bunch of guys that you look at them and on paper, Chris Perez, you look at them on paper and you're like, well, this team isn't very good. And yet they've been doing it in an AL East that
the great manager, though, our boy
Francona. Yeah, Tito, we got to give Tito some credit because, you know, he is definitely making this team, you know, play up to his potential. And, you know, we thought that this team is playing in a division that had some decent teams, right? You thought Detroit is always going to be there. I thought the Kansas City Royals were ready for a breakout, you know, breakout season. And so
they're still doing good, yeah.
Yeah, and at best, you figured Cleveland would be third, fourth, fifth. You know, kudos to them. And moving on to the Red Sox, I mean, who predicted 50 wins for the Red Sox? I mean, after the season, what did they win last year? I think they won 68 all of last year. And so with the breakdown, just the whole team breakdown with the chicken and the beer in the clubhouse, and I don't know, and the infighting, and Terry Francona.
But everybody that needs to step up for them has been stepping up, you know? That's what I like about the Red Sox. You know, everybody's, you know, and even though they put down the young kids early on, Middlebrooks and even Bradley, but you got Nava and some of the other players who have really, you know, really,
and they
you
had
know,
issues
been
too with their bullpen.
Solid.
You know, they had what Hanrahan and Bailey and Alfredo Aceves throughout the beginning of the season. You know, luckily for them, David Ortiz is having a David Ortiz season, right? He got 16
Big
homers,
back.
7 RBI. Yeah, he's doing his thing. And of course, they have Dustin Pedroia leading them at 322. And then pitching wise, Clay Buchholz is proven to be out of his mind. A number one starter, even though, you know, he slotted in the rotation as 3 or 4. Ryan Dempster. I mean, like you said, everybody is pulling their weight. So kudos to the Red Sox. Now, do you think that's going to last? Or do you think that the teams that were supposed to
The way you're looking at everything, actually, I think they might fall back. Even though they're playing pretty good ball, we'll see. I guess it's all going to be about the pitching, but I think the Orioles, man. I think the Orioles are really, you know, Orioles and Rays, they both got something, and it's going to be fun. And, you know, I think we'll definitely
Rays a lot. David Price comes back. I like the Rays. The Yankees, I think, are in trouble. I think the Yankees are in trouble.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, you know, I was going to say, before we segue into the NBA, and there's a lot of moves, I just want to say, man, we not only do we just lose Serena, but Sloane Stephens lost today in the rain. The 2.5 or 2 hours, 15-minute delay, and the Italian girl, Bartoli, beat her, 6-4, 7-5. And Stephens was up 5-4. So, you know, now in Wimbledon, there's no more American women. And, you know, hey, I mean, Stevens can't get a break. I think, you know, she's still young.
She got
but...
shook up by the rain delay. Did you see her?
Yeah.
She was wearing
she couldn't surf.
Like she was in Colorado skiing.
She was cold. But it
she
is cold,
cold
over there, man. I've been over
well,
there in the summer
you know,
when it rains.
You're in Arizona where it's 119. Oh, by the way, we definitely need to pass our condolences on to all the firefighters.
Yes.
That was terrible.
To the fire, 19 of them. Ah, that was very
job,
sad over
you know,
here on my end. Yeah.
Trying to put out this crazy fire.
Trying to
out
save
there.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to
but,
save people.
But Sloane Stephens, just she couldn't bounce back. She couldn't bounce back. The rain delay came at the worst time for her. It was 5-4.
Yeah.
She was at a deuce situation. She just couldn't come back. She couldn't serve. She couldn't hold her serve. And she just couldn't stand up to the adversity, you know? So
yeah. She's only, what is she, 20? I mean, she's pretty young.
20 years
I think,
old, yeah.
Yeah, well, her best days are ahead of her. You know, I think they're definitely ahead of her. So let's talk about it, man. Let's first, you know, we've got the five-team, two-and-a-half-day tour of Dwight Howard, and it wraps up today and tonight. You know, Lakers and Mavericks. He met with the Rockets, and he also yesterday met with the Hawks and the Warriors. I want it to go quickly. I want it to happen. You know, everybody, you know, they Skyped in your boy Yao Ming. They had Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon, Kevin McHale. To me, all I have to say about this is if you're just talking about basketball, forget about the money and the state tax. Everybody knows about this. Go play for the Rockets, man. Go play with Chandler Parsons, who's your friend, James Harden. You know, they'll probably have to move Ashiq and or Lynn, you know. But go play with those guys because I really think you can win more in the future. And guess what? Your coach Kevin McHale, he's one of the best post-up players ever, by the way. So that's all I really need to say about
you know,
Howard.
The more
I
think about
take
it,
on it,
the more I think about it, I got to put Houston in the driver's seat way ahead of everybody else. Because if you think about it, everybody else has fundamental flaws, right? Dallas is too old and really has no talent. The Lakers are old and have no athleticism. And, frankly, he doesn't like dealing with Kobe. And Kobe now is thinking about he might come back after this contract. And you know Jerry Buss or the kid. The Buss family has to Jim Buss has to let Kobe play as long as he wants to. So Kobe
yeah, he said 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Kobe doesn't want to go out playing half a season on a repaired Achilles tendon. So Kobe's got another couple of years at least. So, you know, everybody keeps talking about how the Laker contract is that much more. It's actually not if you look at it. I mean, the Lakers can offer him a fifth year, but Dwight Howard will only be 32, and he'll still be getting big money in the fifth year. So it's unfair to compare a five-year contract to a four-year contract, right?
Yeah.
So they can offer him a little bit more, but there's no state income tax, so all your games that you play in Houston, you're not paying income tax, even the games in Dallas and San Antonio. So to me,
they said about a $9 million difference when it's said and done, so that's not that much for somebody like Dwight Howard.
No, go play in Houston, especially because he's been on both sides of the fence, right? He was in Orlando, also in Florida, where they don't have a state income tax. But he was the man on a team that went to a finals, and then he went and joined Kobe and was second fiddle to the man. And I think he likes the former situation better. I don't think he wants to be on a team where you got a guy, a personality as dominant as Kobe. And frankly,
I think it's also the coach, though, too, man.
Well, I was about to say,
you got to consider the coach and the offense.
Yep, the thing that tips the scales to the other side, to the negative, is that he hates Mike D'Antoni's system. And it's not really a system for big men. I mean, Mike D'Antoni's
less touches in the post.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni's best player was Amari Stoudemire. Well, Steve Nash won his two MVPs, but his best big man was Amari Stoudemire, and he really didn't play big. He just was an athletic, you know, kind of a 10 to 15 foot forward.
Well, and him and Nash did the pick and roll. They did the pick and roll, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, that's sort of Dwight Howard. I mean, let's obviously get into some of these deals that have already been done. I mean, first off, we got to talk about the Nick deal. That happened since our last show. You know, I mean, you give up a first-round pick, Q Richardson, which, you know, he had another year on his contract, so, you know, that's good to get rid of him. Marcus Camby, who didn't really play that much for us last year for the Knicks, who's so, you know, fragile and, you know, great defender, but he's very old now, I think at 39. And Steve Novak, who's just really a three-point specialist, not a great rebounder or defensive player, and, you know, doesn't put the ball on the floor for Andrea Bagnani, who's got 2 years, $22 million. So, you know, Bagnani shoots, you know, better from two. He can hit the three, but I like the, you know, good jump shot. He can put the ball on the floor. Not much of a rebounder or defender. But I guess, to me, it doesn't make the Knicks that much better when you see all the stuff that the Nets have been doing. What do you think the Knicks did in that move? I mean, do you feel like there was much of an improvement or just a little improvement?
So, my view is that the Knicks made a marginal improvement. I don't know who else was out there. So short of telling me who else is out there, I think they're better off today than, or whatever, it'll be June 10th, July 10th, than they were before that. Because Novak, Q Rich didn't give you anything, really. So ultimately, in terms of players, now they're over the salary cap to begin with, so that's a Dolan issue, whether how much of the luxury tax they want to pay. So to me, it really comes down to, are you better off with Steve Novak or Andrea Bargnani? Because you didn't get much from Marcus Camby either, just because he was so fragile. So a fragile Camby and a limited Novak or Andrea Bargnani. So at least you got bigger, you got a little younger, and even though he doesn't rebound, he rebounds a little bit better than Novak, right? So he spreads the court. He can play the four or the five. He can play with Carmelo and Amari because he doesn't take the same real estate that they take on the court. So to me, I think the Knicks are marginally better. I don't love taking back, for Knicks fans, taking back $22, $23 million in salary over the next 2 years. But you know what? Knicks are already over the cap, and they can't make major moves anyway. So I think the Knicks are slightly better. Doesn't
okay,
make them
staying
a championship contender, but they're slightly better.
Okay, staying in the East. So we'll look at the Nets, Pacers, and Bulls. So the Nets, you know, we know about their big trade with the Celtics, but they lose C.J. Watson to the Pacers, so we'll talk about that. But they re-sign Andre Blatch.
1 year, yeah.
1 year. You know, and I kind of like that because that really makes your rotation. I mean, and he's so athletic and talented. And then I believe they are also looking at Kyle Korver, which would be, you know, a really, really nice deal for them. So I think the Nets, you know, overall, they've definitely, you know, improved their roster. And I like Blatch with Garnett and, you know, Plumlee and Lopez and, you know, Evans. I mean, you got bigs for days.
I tell you what, Jason Kidd has talent on that roster. And so, again, hats off to Billy King. I don't know how he pulled it off, and I don't know how they'll play together, but he has tools. So he definitely can't say that the cupboard is empty. So Jason Kidd's got to go to the chalkboard and start drawing up some plays and start motivating these players and get them to play together. And hopefully Darren Williams' feet will do right by him, and he can stay healthy because he's got some players. I mean, the Nets roster, top to bottom, might be the best in the NBA. They don't have that mega, mega star. They don't have that Kobe. But they've got aging veterans with championships, the two guys they got from the Celtics, obviously, Garnett and Pierce. And then they've got, you know, Joe Johnson is a solid all-star. And Darren Williams, you know, was on the verge of being one of the top, you know, two or three point guards in the league when he's healthy. So on paper, the Nets are a heck of a team.
Yeah, shooting guard, yeah. No, definitely. But Lopez, hey, he made the All-Star team this year too. So I think that's a,
yeah,
you know,
he's
a
solid.
Good thing.
He's very solid.
He's on the upswing. So that's the Nets. Now let's look at the Pacers, right? They've just re-signed David West, three years, $38 million.
$36 million,
so,
I think, yeah.
Oh, $36 million. So they rescinded their offer. I thought this was interesting, to Tyler Hansbrough. So they, you know, they let go of Psycho T, and then they signed for the Nets a backup point guard, C.J. Watson. So the Pacers are looking pretty good, and, you know, Granger comes back healthy. Stevenson is way improved, and Paul George is now an all-star. So the Pacers are going to be deadly. You know, you switch out C.J. Watson for D.J. Augustine, C.J. for a D.J., you know what I'm saying? I kind of like that.
C.J. Watson.
Think, yeah, Watson. So I think the Pacers really, really look nice because David West and Hibbert, you definitely didn't want to break up that front court and George. And now if you want to, you could still start Stevenson at the two and bring Granger as like your main guy off the bench if you want to keep George at the three and not put him at the two, because Granger's definitely a three. He's not a two. You know, George is the one that's more flexible. But I like bringing, you know, Granger off the bench to be your sixth man. You could work the minutes however you want
to
work it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that comes down to how Granger will accept his new role, because the guy just is two seasons away. We're two seasons removed from him being the man and him being the all-star and him being the best player on that team. And suddenly he gets hurt. And he gets Wally pipped, and then Paul George is the man. So is he ready, mainly because of the fact that Paul George is much better defensively. So is Danny Granger ready to take on a role of being, you know, Robin and to Paul George's Batman? Or is there going to be a little bit of conflict of egos over there? So that'll be interesting to see how Vogel is able to incorporate Granger back in the lineup. Like you said, do they start messing around and put George at the two? Do they make Granger the sixth man? Do they start Granger and bring Paul George off the bench? I don't think they do that. But, you know, they've got some issues. And when you've got egos, who knows how it'll work out. The one thing you do know, though, is because of their unique makeup of Hibbert and West and Granger and George is – no matter where they sit, whether they're a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seed in the East, they'll probably finish top 5, right? They're a tough playoff matchup. So whatever happens, we saw the last 2 years, they gave Miami all they could handle. So
the Pacers are legit now.
Or anybody
else.
They're
legit.
Yeah, they're a legit playoff slugfest. You know, you're not going to sweep Indiana. You're going to go to a 6 or 7 game series. So them in for, you know,
for a fight.
A deep run, a fight and a deep run in the playoffs next year.
Okay, now we look at the Bulls, right? So Nate Robinson won't come back.
The Bulls.
They just re-signed Nazir Muhammad and then signed Mike Dunleavy Jr. So, you know, those are minor moves, but nice. If you're going to lose Nate, you know, they're also looking at for a backup point guard now. They're looking to either sign, Mo Williams or somebody like that. Because they were looking at Eric Maynor, and guess what? Eric Maynor, along with Martell Webster, going back to the Wizards, Eric Maynor signed with the Wizards. So the Wizards in the East improve a little bit too, you know. And then the Bulls are looking to waive. They're about to waive our boy that we discussed off air, the veteran Richard Hamilton, at the two. So
they want to rip.
Yeah, they're going to rip, you know. And now there's talk of the Knicks. We'll just stay in the East for a second. The Knicks are looking to possibly sign Elton Brand. And like your boy Tay had been screaming since draft night, C.J. Leslie, the Knicks have him on their summer league roster, and I love it. I love it. I predicted it. I said it.
Yeah,
they
but your boy is Copeland, so the only person that C.J. Leslie could take minutes from is Chris Copeland.
Well, Copeland's not definitely coming back, you know. I mean, we have to sign him, and also J.R. Smith might not come back. So to me, you know, C.J. Leslie, you know, could be filling out that roster. You know, we still got to have 12 guys, if not 15, you know. And so to me, I could see J.R. Smith going to the Milwaukee Bucks because they're not signing Monta Ellis. And, you know, we really have got to see if we can keep – there's a lot of people interested in Copeland services.
Wait, it looks like there's some little bit of breaking news here. I'm looking across the wire, and it looks like the Clippers – the Suns and the Bucks have pulled off a three-team trade. ESPN is reporting that the Clippers have traded Caron Butler and Eric Bledsoe to your Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley go to the Clippers. And Redick is expected to sign a four-year, $27 million deal. And the Bucks are going to receive 2 second-round picks, one from the Clippers and one from the Suns. Wow. So, interesting.
Okay, so the Bucks get picks. The Suns get J.J. Redick, a shooter, because they don't necessarily love, you know, Shannon Brown, and they move Dudley. So they get
J.J. Redick. No, I think the
Suns get
Caron Butler and Eric Bledsoe. J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley go to the Clippers.
Jared Dudley with the Clippers is nice. Grant Hill retires. Jared Dudley, you know, is a nice backup. Well, I guess he might start at the three now, I guess. You know,
he's solid.
But he doesn't make bad plays on the court. He's not great, but he is a solid player. And for Doc Rivers, you know, I think it's perfect for Doc in the sense that Doc will try to turn this team into a team. Because let's be honest, Caron Butler is still a decent player, but he was getting older and slower in the West. And I think that type of move, it's funny that this goes down, right? Because they were also talking about moving Bledsoe for O.J. Mayo. You know, so that was, you know, definitely something that was, you know, going down or whatever. Wow. So, okay, so that's hot off the presses. See, I like this, man. Ray and Tay will bring you some, you know, some breaking
play
news.
With Goran Dragic, though? I mean, what do they do there? Is Bledsoe their sixth man? Do they try to play them together in the backcourt? Because Caron Butler's a three.
Well,
that'll be interesting to see what the coaching staff has in mind there for Eric Bledsoe, because I don't think he takes Goran Dragic's starting spot, unless you want to play the two of them together.
No, they're going to have to just split time at the point. I guess they're looking at the depth and, you know, maybe people like Dragic, and maybe they're like, hey, we can acquire Bledsoe, who's a little bit younger, and see if we can move Dragic. That's the only thing that I can think of, because he's, you know, to me, I think Bledsoe has maybe potential to be better, but Dragic's pretty solid. You know, that's a guy to me who's really a solid player who just, you know, he learned under Nash and really, you know, developed his game and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, that's really an interesting deal, and it's sort of weird, right? I guess Milwaukee, for them, maybe they're gearing up for a big sign. I don't know who they're going to sign, because if they're clearing the salary, well, Redick wasn't signed with them, so they don't re-sign him. And then the other players, nobody else is from Milwaukee. So Milwaukee winds up getting picks of the Bucks.
Clear roster spots and second-round picks, you don't have to sign, right? So they're not guaranteed.
Right, so I guess, you know.
They're clearing up room. I don't know who.
Well, maybe they're going to go. I think they're going to sign J.R.
Smith. J.R. Smith.
Well, listen, Josh Smith is going to probably get a max offer from Detroit Pistons. Then you got Tariq Evans, who got offered 4 years, $48 million from the Pelicans. New Orleans.
I don't understand that. That team's got a lot of small wing players.
Well, a lot of people feel that your boy Evans can play the three. So,
at 6'5", he's going to play the three. I mean, he did. Look, his numbers are great in his three years?
Yeah, 25-5, rookie of the year.
Yeah, and over those 3 years, it was, 19-5-5. His numbers keep going down. But, I don't know, that team's already got, you know, the players, Eric Gordon, they've already got, you know, they got Drew Holiday now. They've got your boy Grievous Vasquez, Alfarik Aminu. I don't know. Do they want another 6'5", you know, wing player?
So they basically have two guys at every position. you know, a starter and a backup. 2 points, two guards, two, you know, small forwards if you re-sign. But remember, Aminu is a free agent. You know, I think he's restricted, but he's a free agent. So, I mean, look, it's interesting, and that definitely heats things up. But wait, you know, there's still so much more, right? So I just found out, I'm just reading now, the Pacers are exploring and looking to trade Granger and Gerald Green. So there goes the issue, you know, stuff about Granger. Minnesota, they lose Kirilenko. He opts out of a 10-year, you know, one year left on his contract for $10 million, which I don't think he's going to get anywhere else. But
Iguodala did the same, opting out of $16 million in Denver. So he really wanted to get out of town.
But I guess these guys are like, hey, they want a multi-year deals, and they're just like, you know, whatever. But Budinger re-signs with the Timberwolves after he was sort of, you know, injured for 3 years. And Thiago Splitter is close to re-upping with the Spurs.
Really? Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
For how much?
$45
million. Oh, my God. Because the Spurs are now supposedly poking around. So let's talk big men. So we talk about Thiago Splitter, but let's talk Greg Oden and Andrew Bynum. So Andrew Bynum, did you hear this? His agent said, we're not going to have him work out for anybody. We'll let you look at his MRI and maybe look at his horoscope and maybe put some tarot cards down, and he might touch them.
I'd be like,
and then you,
peace, homie. I wouldn't sign him to a bologna sandwich.
We want 9 year. You know, we want
9 to 12
years
million.
At between 9 and 12 million a year.
Absurd.
I'm not touching that with a 300-foot rope. I don't know. You know what? But big men are so in demand that there are going to be at least 2 to 3 teams that are going to bite on this, and somebody's going to pay him this money. On the other end of the spectrum is Greg Oden. Now, did you hear about this? Greg Oden is looking at apparently the Cavs, the Heat, and the Spurs. Now, that is a more interesting deal because you sign him to a minimum deal, the veteran's minimum. You make it incentive-laden, and you see what you can get out of this guy as opposed to Andrew Bynum, who's asking for $10, $12 million. Greg Oden's going to get $1 million or $2 or $3 million, you know, in that range per year. And you guarantee the first year maybe, and then you have a player option or a team option for the second and third years. So that looks to be more like a risk that more teams are willing to take. And he's looking at some of these, you know, deep playoff contenders, certainly the Spurs and the Heat, and possibly the Cavs as well. So what do you think?
No, you're right. It's interesting.
Who's the big man in your future?
Well, to me, I like Bynum better. Odin's never done it. Bynum's got rings. He's also, you know, put in like 19 and 10, you know, for a bit. You know, had one great season. I guess for me with Bynum,
2 years ago.
Yeah, but with Bynum though, I can't give him more than a year contract. I'll pay you $12 million for 1 year, but you got to prove it. After the 1 year, if you don't do anything, we're done. And if you do something, then I can give you 3 or 4 year contract. But I can only give him a 1 year deal. No,
yeah,
I know,
I
but guess
100%.
What? Nobody gives in, you know, because, you know, it's a lot for any team to sign up to a multi-year deal. It's a huge risk. Now, you know who could do it? The Mavericks. If they don't get Dwight Howard, why wouldn't they take a chance on Bynum? All they have on the contract is Sean Marion, Nowitzki, and Carter. And then, like, their young rookies, Bernard James and Jay Crowder and now Shane Larkin. So why wouldn't they, you know, take a shot? Because if Bynum's healthy, well, wow, Bynum, Nowitzki, you know, Carter, you know, and, you know, get a veteran. Who knows what, you know, the Mavericks could do then. That could be, you know, something where you're like, wow, I've got me, you know, my center, you know. You know who I'm interested to see where he goes is O.J. Mayo. Thought he played very well last year with the Mavericks, and that's someone that can go be a star maybe, or not a star, but a second-tier star with the Bucks, with, you know, maybe, well, Cleveland doesn't really need him, but with the Bucks, with maybe Detroit or maybe Atlanta. You know, these are teams that have a ton of money, and they've got to spend it. Atlanta has no roster. Utah, what do the Utah Jazz do? The only thing I'm hearing is that Al Jefferson might go to the Bobcats. I haven't heard anything about Paul Millsap and Al Jefferson. All I heard was the one thing is the Bobcats. And maybe Dwight Howard's got to, you know, that's got to happen first, and then we see how these other guys pan out, you know?
Yeah, look, O.J. Mayo, something's up with O.J. Mayo. I mean, his game is great. He's 6'5", he can shoot, he can defend. When his head is right, he is a really, really solid contributor. But for some reason, right, his trajectory was going up and up and up, and then it just stopped. And then the Grizzlies got rid of him. And then, you know, ever since then, it feels like, you know, he had that 1 year in Dallas, and you figured he was a perfect match for them, for what they're trying to do, rebuild.
Well, remember,
younger,
you loved him in Collison. Those were your boys.
Yeah,
liked
I love
him
that backcourt.
Yeah.
But for some reason, something just doesn't work out with this guy. I don't know what's the deal. O.J. Mayo, we might need to look into that. We might need to, you know, send a special Ray and Tay special
too much
reporter.
Mayo on the bread.
Down there to see what's going on with your boy O.J. Mayo, you know?
I got two things for you. Your boy Doc Rivers quietly is putting together a nice little team with the Clippers, right? But guess who else he's looking to sign? So he makes this trade, and when I say he makes this trade, it's you know, it's on Doc now. He's the head basketball guy over there. So he's, you know, getting the groceries, cooking them, buying them, and working them out. But also they might sign Carl Landry. That would be the perfect move, leaving the Warriors, going to the Clippers. You like that for the Clippers? They get Carl Landry back up four?
You know, I do, just because he's so different from what they have, right? Yeah, exactly. Their team is so Rip City, Hollywood, you know, alley oops and stuff. And that's all beautiful, but that doesn't work in the playoffs. You know what I mean? The league is too savvy. The league is too tough. That, you know, above the rim game and running out there and just Chris Paul throwing alley oops to DeAndre and to Blake, that's not happening in the playoffs. So to get a guy like Carl Landry to grind it out, to get a guy like Jared Dudley, you know, who is a low maintenance, just a solid NBA player, you know, gives you a less.
You see what Doc's
game,
doing. It's smart,
free.
Right?
I love it. I love it. Doc's like, look, I'm de-Hollywooding Hollywood over here, and we're going to get a team of people that can grind it out, that have talent, but can grind it out and win us some close, tough playoff games. Because, you know, we already have the fans, and we already have the momentum in LA. We're snatching that a little bit from the, you know, from the mouth of the tiger, from the Lakers. But ultimately, if we don't win a championship in the next 3 years, and Doc's on a 3-year contract, then I got to consider this, or at least go to the finals. I got to consider this a failure from Doc's perspective, right? He's like, look, at this point in my career, I've been to two finals, won one, lost one. I'm trying to go back and potentially win one, especially if you think about the West is aging. You know, San Antonio's aging. The Lakers are old. Oklahoma City's young, but they have some flaws, especially in the front court. So I got to think the Clippers have their eyes on a championship. So I like what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think about OKC now with, I got to say, our boys taking over? You know, Durant signs with Roc Nation Sports and with Jay-Z, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, when his contract's done, and what is it done, in 14 or in 15? One of, you know, he's coming up soon because he didn't sign the 6-year. He signed like a 4-year extension. So when Durant's contract's done, people are like, he's gone. He's leaving OKC to be, you know, big time somewhere else, whether it be, you know, New York, L.A., you know. I don't know.
About that. It might be the case, but, you know, he played 1 year at Texas, you know, UT at Austin, and seems to have an affinity for Texas. And he is in Oklahoma City right now, pretty close to Austin, Texas. So he's from D.C., you know, he's from the greater D.C. area, but he seems like he's having an okay time over there and enjoying himself. And remember how he signed his deal? Everybody else, you know, LeBron had the decision and everybody else had this thing. He just signed it quietly. He signed his 4-year max contract just real quiet. I'm Kevin Durant. I'm back. And he was in the gym the same day or the next day. So to me, Kevin Durant's decision will be made on basketball terms. So So I don't know that Jay-Z and Roc Nation, look, I'm sure everybody likes the endorsements, and he's got his Sprint deal, and he's got his other deals, and you know, he's Allstate or whatever.
He does well.
But,
I got to say, he does well on commercials.
He does well, right, for being in Oklahoma City, for being in a small market. Like, he's a mega star. He's a top two player in the NBA, so he deserves everything he's getting. But I think his decision, he seems like a loyal guy and loves it in Oklahoma City. The only reason he leaves, I don't think he leaves Oklahoma City for a big market. I think he leaves Oklahoma City to win championships. So if he thinks that roster is flawed, or if at some point he can't play with Russell Westbrook, there's just, you know, one basketball, and, you know, he and Westbrook don't get along.
Be nice.
Or if they don't get him, if they don't get him any front court help, maybe some scoring to relieve the pressure off of him, then he leaves. But I think ultimately, you know, Jay-Z is just going to Roc Nation. They're just going to help bolster his brand and his image. But he's going to do it in Oklahoma City until further notice.
So where do you think Iguodala signs? Do you think he winds up back with the Nuggets? Does he go to Detroit? Does he go to Atlanta? Where do you see him landing?
So
he's probably like the third best free agent out there, third or fourth. He's a pretty good player.
He is solid. I mean, and he left $16 million off on the table. So I got to figure he knows something, and somebody's been whispering in his ear because, you know, how much does Iguodala make? I mean, is he going to make $10, $12 million a year? So what's he going to get, the same contract they offered to Tyreke Evans? You know, 4 years, $48 million, maybe, 50, I mean – but you guaranteed 16 for this year. So, to me, he better you know, he took a gamble. I don't know.
Do you like him and Josh Smith teaming up?
Well, it's funny,
you know?
Because they're different players, but they do similar things in the stat sheet. You know, they're both stat stuffers. They just play a little bit of a different game. I like Andre Iguodala. The problem with Andre Iguodala is that he's got to be your second. If he's your third best player, that's
then
fantastic.
Then you're great.
You know, then you're golden. If he's your first best player, if he's your best player, basically, like he was in Philly, you're in trouble. If he's your second best player, you're probably still not an elite NBA franchise. So I would love to see Andre Iguodala go to – right, if he goes to Detroit, they're going to want too much from him. If he goes to Milwaukee, they're going to want too much from him. I would love for him to go to a place like – they don't have room for him, right? But go to the Clippers. Go to a place that needs a swing man. Go to Oklahoma City and be the sixth man. They probably can't afford him. But go to a place where you're not the man. Go to a place where you're like the star off the bench. You're the sixth man that really can play the two, the three, and you know, give
but you
some
know,
energy,
financially,
some defense.
What you're saying, in a way, though, is not realistic. Because you know financially he's only going to be able to go to an Atlanta, a Milwaukee, a Detroit,
right.
a Charlotte.
No, you're
teams
right.
that sort of – you know, don't have those guys. And, oh, by the way, OKC is interested in Darrell Wright, who's leaving the Sixers. So that's kind of interesting to me because I like Darrell Wright's game for the Thunder. The Thunder, I think they've seen not just that Westbrook got hurt, but I think even if Westbrook was there and played, I think the Thunder, they need a little bit more punch. And, you know, hey, maybe, like we've talked about, maybe their young guys develop, you know, whether it's a Steven Adams, a Jeremy Lamb, or, you know, Percy Jones III. But somebody's got to step up to help Durant. And, by the way, Kevin Martin is leaving. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. You know, so you've got Detroit and Milwaukee and these other teams looking at Kevin Martin. So, you know, who's looking, you know, for some decent money. Overall, Ray, I think that, you know, I mean, by the time we get to the 10th, man, this league is going to be looking really different. I think there's a lot of free agents out there, and I think there's a lot of talented free agents. Because we're saying all this stuff, and like I said, we barely mentioned Jefferson, who might go to Charlotte, and then Paul Millsap. And what do the Utah Jazz do, you know?
Yeah, and there's some guards out there too, right? We talked off-air about Nate Robinson can help a team. You know, we've got potentially Marco Bellinelli. You've got, like we said, Andre Iguodala, a good swing man who can help some teams. So there are some free agents out there that it, look, it's not the apparently next year and the year after are going to have some fantastic free agents, and LeBron can opt out, and so it's not quite the game changers. But there's some if you're a playoff team, there are some players out there that can help get you over the hump, and we'll be, you know, Ray and Tay will be watching it for you. We'll be watching the wire, the free agent wire, and bring you what's going on and give you our opinion.
Yeah. You know what I want to ask you real quick? This is stepping away from the NBA and just, you know, wrapping up and talking a little NFL, right? You know, training camp's like 2.5-3 weeks away. Did you hear about the Jaguars showing the Red Zone channel in their stadium? What
you know,
does that
first,
say?
I gotta give you my opinion on that. At first, yeah, I laughed and I was like, "Oh my God, they have a horrible product. They basically have, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew and nothing else." But the more I thought about it, I actually think it's pretty innovative because if you think about it.
Fantasy
we
football.
We used to go to football games, but between fantasy football and the Red Zone channel, and you know, you live in a climate that's nice, but you know, if you're in the northeast or the Midwest from mid November on, it's freezing. So if you go to a game, and if you go to the 1 o'clock Eastern game, by the time you get out and by the time you get home, you missed the 4 o'clock games. So you might listen to it on the radio if you're driving or if you're taking a bus or a train or whatever, you might catch some of it. But basically, it's both games, the one and the four, and you only got to see one of them. So one of the reasons that pro football is having attendance issues, A, is the ticket prices and the economy, but B, a close second, is because the home experience is
so
fantastic.
Amazing.
That why would you go? So even though you can,
and
you know
the
what
price,
it is,
like why spend that money to go?
You know what it is? It's the right message. It's the wrong messenger, right? If the San Francisco 49ers had said it, because they're in the middle of Silicon Valley and big high tech. If the New England Patriots had said it, if the
it
Giants
looked desperate
had
coming
said
from
it,
the Jaguars, right?
Right. People would be like, you know what? This is innovative. But because it's the Jaguars who had blackout issues and selling out the stadium issues and you know, Jacksonville
Tampa,
landing and they've got some issues down there with you know, other, especially these warm climates, you know, people don't necessarily want to go to football. Look, L.A., the number two market in the country, hasn't had a football
team
in forever.
They couldn't
the 90s.
Sell it out when they had it.
Yeah, because it's too many attractions.
Too much
so
to
I
do.
I think it's very innovative, and you know what? It's the trend of the future. I don't know if you're going to have to pay a little bit and watch
it. So then you're saying their owner, Khan, is not – is not someone to laugh at. You're sort of like, you know, Khan is like, yo, I'm trying to, you know, extend the reality of my brand. You know, when you come to my stadium, you're on the big screen in the end zone, you're going to see the Red Zone channel. While you're there live at the game, you could watch my game, but you could also see how, you know, Calvin Johnson is doing. You know, you could look at your tablet and do this and do that, and that's pretty smart.
You know, if Bob Kraft did it, he'd be a genius. If Woody Johnson did it, or you know, the they'd be geniuses. If
no,
York,
I think you're right about that.
You know what I mean? And here's one thing. Remember this anecdote that everybody keeps talking about. They said that Tex Schramm, you know, the GM of the Cowboys, who was one of the innovators in football, along with Art Modell and some of the other owners in the 60s, in 70s and onwards, he said, you know, he said in the 60s, he said that he envisions a day when the players just play in a stadium and you just have cameras. Basically a made-for-TV event.
Wow.
With the instant replay, with the, you know, the fact is, I guess he said it maybe in the late 60s, early 70s, when TV was really starting to become a big deal and the Super Bowl was becoming a big deal. And if you think about it, the TV experience has gotten so much better, and the in-game experience, in-stadium experience, is really stagnant. It hasn't gotten much better.
Yeah, with the commercials, and you all of a sudden you're watching the game, and then it stops, and if you're in the audience and you're not close, you're a little further back, you're like, well, what's happening? And then you realize, oh, it's like a TV timeout, change of possession or whatever, and you're in the stadium, you're kind of bored. So I'd love to see the Red Zone channel.
Yeah, I think it's great. Like I said, it's the right message, wrong messenger.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, listen.
Another great show.
Yep. And I'm excited, you know, to see what happens, what goes down. We'll be back on Friday, and we'll break down some more of the NBA free agency and trades, because it's trading season, and teams are doing it, man. There's deals flying. And, hey, Ray and Tay, talking sports with friends.
Yeah, have a happy 4th, Independence Day, be safe.
Yeah.
And we'll check you guys out on Friday.
That's right. God bless America, baby. We'll be back. Ray and Tay.
We're out.